Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We got Bonzi Wells, former NBA veteran, co-host of the Let's. Yes, yes. Detroit, Portland.
Wow.
Where else did Bonzi play? But those were two of his spots. Co-host of the Let's Get Technical podcast with Rasheed Wallace. And that's a good listen. You got to check it out. He's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rob, before we get into some more NBA talk, I'm going to give you a chance to basically change your mind on this college football playoff. Now there is talk the college football playoff committee is going to consider expanding the playoff from 4 teams to 12 teams. I, for one, love it. I think it's awesome. You know, I think it'll be exciting. And not just the games that is the championship or even the semifinals, but the regular playoff games, the first round playoff games, I think will be exciting. Certainly a lot more exciting than bowl games that mean absolutely nothing. And that was one of the unfortunately, that was one of the kind of negative, you know, repercussions of the college football playoff was that if you weren't in one of those, you know, if you weren't one of those four teams, then the rest of the bowls, even the big ones, you know, you always had the big ones, right? The Fiesta, the Orange, the Sugar Rose, and all that stuff. And all of them were big, all right? And then with the playoff, if you weren't in one of those games, then even the other big bowls didn't matter much to you. So I think this, you know, you can make those bowls, which are what they're talking about, some of the playoff games. So I think it'll make a few more significant games at the end of the season than we've had the last few years. So I'm all for it.
I'm not interested. You know what? Have your fun if you think that's going to be great. I just the college playoffs and what we've had hasn't been that great. Lopsided championship games. It just hasn't really been
that. Not always.
Well, most of them have been lopsided.
Remember that Clemson game with Deshaun Watson? That was
yeah, but there have been a lot of lopsided games as well. And I'm just saying, I think you open it up to teams that really aren't as good and really don't belong there, you're going to wind up having even worse games. So I just think I'm not for it. I think that this is the makeup for money that they've lost the last couple of year and a half with the pandemic. And who knows? I just think they're not 12 teams good enough to compete for a national championship. Okay, so you might argue maybe there's one or two teams that got left out, but they're not another 8 teams that are really viable to win the national championship. So I just think it's once again college football tinkering with something and not knowing what to do and just trying to figure how can we capitalize, how can we make more money. I get it, it's a business. I'm just not interested. When it gets to the Final Four, Chris, maybe I'll watch those games.
Well, one thing they're talking about is a bye. So like the top 4 teams would get a bye, so that those it wouldn't be like you got Alabama and say Iowa State in the first round or Alabama Cincinnati in the first round. They may play each other, Iowa State and Cincinnati, which could end up being a good game. And then the winner gets the right maybe to play Alabama or whoever. So, like I said, to me, it adds more significant games in the postseason. So I'm all for it. But let's move on to the NBA, Rob. And interesting development here. So we know that Nikola Jokic was the MVP. And yesterday, Rudy Gobert was named the defensive player of the year. And Rob, the two top vote getters for both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year were international guys. So MVP, it was Jokic from Slovenia. It was Joel Embiid from the Cameroon. And then the Defensive Player of the Year, it was Rudy Gobert from France and Ben Simmons from Australia. Rob, the last three MVPs, now granted, two of them were Giannis, you know, but the last three MVP awards have been won by an international player. And the last four Defensive Player of the Year awards, Giannis and then Rudy Gobert, have been won by an international player. My first team All-NBA, Rob, now we'll see what it ends up being officially, but my official ballot, first team All-NBA, Chris Paul and Steph Curry at the guards, Nikola Jokic at center, Giannis Antetokounmpo at one of the forwards, and Luka Doncic at the other forwards. Three of those five are international players. Does this, it's not a bad thing, but does this say anything specifically to you? The fact that, you know, obviously a lot of these awards are being won, I won't say dominated by international players.
Yeah, we're playing international basketball. That's what the NBA is playing now. I'm not even surprised by it. This is the game that they've been playing forever. You know,
so you mean the style of play?
Yes.
Shoot, right.
Am I right or wrong with that, Chris?
Because remember in the early 2000s when, unbelievably, right, NBA players start getting beat in international competition.
Absolutely.
Even Rob, remember, go back to, I think it was 2000, and our team won. It was Kevin Garnett, Allen Houston, Vince Carter, Gary Payton. You know, it had a bunch of the great players. And they barely won. Remember Lithuania, like, had them on the ropes? And then eventually they started beating us. And the way they were doing it, Rob, to your point, was the drive and kick and shooting threes.
Yep.
And so 100%. We were getting twos, right?
And they're getting threes.
Right.
You know what? Darko Milicic is somewhere saying, why can't I be in the league now?
I know. You're right.
I'm serious.
Larry, or why? And look, we all do respect to Larry Brown, who is a phenomenal coach. But
he wanted no part of it back then.
For Darko.
Right. I'm serious, right. Chris. And you know this, because Doug Gottlieb and I tried out with Doug Gottlieb on game night on ESPN Radio, right?
Okay.
That was my tryout, me and Doug Gottlieb for two or three
How long
nights.
Ago about? About?
Oh, man.
Roughly.
15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
All right. And he played against Darko. He swore by Darko. He told me on the air.
Yeah, he played against him overseas, right?
Yeah, he was the best 15-year-old player, Chris, he had ever seen. That's wow. what Doug
And he
said.
Was perimeter.
Yes, he was. Larry Brown wanted no part of that. You're right. But anyway, my point is, we're playing European style basketball. I'm not surprised that Europeans are now taking over all the awards and now winning them with regularity because of the style of play. We talk about all the time, because you talk about fundamentals, passing the ball, all this other stuff. Those guys do it really well. Those guys play professionally. When they're 15, when they come over here, when Luka comes over here, Chris, he's 22, but he's been a professional for seven years.
Playing against grown men.
Yes. Let's not make it like he just showed up and you can't believe what he's doing. He's been playing against grown men for years.
Yeah, and Luka, as I mentioned on Jokic, Jokic is from Serbia. Luka's from Slovenia. But most of these guys, Rob, are from a small part of Eastern Europe. And we brought up Larry. Now, Giannis is from Greece. Like I said, Gobert's from France. Embiid's from Africa. But speaking of Larry Brown, Rob, he told me, you got to give him credit for this, back in 1996.
And you know, I think Larry Brown is the best basketball coach.
Right.
Period.
Right. And I don't, but he's a top coach. He's one of the greats. He told me in 1996, we were at the pre-draft camp in Chicago, and he told me, he said, Eastern Europe is going to become the next hotbed of basketball.
Is that what he said? Wow.
Yep. He said it's going to become like the ghettos of America have been. Yep. He said because those kids got nothing else. And Rob, check this out. So I was in Italy with Brandon Jennings. Remember Brandon Jennings?
Sure.
Went from high school to play in Rome. Right. Yeah, right. And so I was over there for like 3 weeks. One of our trips, I was traveling with the team. I was doing a story on Brandon Jennings. And so we had the team was in Rome, but they were making a trip to Serbia, Belgrade in Serbia. And one of the African-American players on Jennings' team told me, he said, look, when we get to Serbia, he said, those Europeans are the most like African-Americans that you'll see over here in Europe. And I didn't really know what he meant. I was like, okay, all right, whatever, you know? So when we get to Serbia, what he meant, it's like the hood.
Right.
Like, it is not like you go to Paris, London, Rome, you know what I mean? All that stuff, it's all glitzy and history and all that. You go to Eastern Europe, it's like downtown Detroit.
Right, I know what you mean. Right.
And Youngstown. You know, it's just not nearly as wealthy and all that.
And for them, they play ball as a chance of them getting out.
Right.
Like I get it. I get it.
They're tough. They're hard-nosed. And
they're not afraid of playing against black players,
right,
Chris. It's not...
Right.
Like that's one of the knocks on white basketball players from the
Americans.
United States. You've seen this where, you know, a team could be really good. The kids could be really good. All of a sudden, an all-black team shows up in a gym, and then they can't play. You know, like.
Right, right, right. No, you're right. And they come over with a swagger. Obviously, Luka has got a swag. And so it's interesting, I think you hit on something, Rob. And we seem to be getting there a little bit. I think the G League helps. But, you know, here's some of the reasons. And look, let's keep it real. You still have tons of great American players.
No doubt.
You
Nobody's
made a
saying
good point that look, the game is global now.
Right.
And so you're going to have some great players from other countries. But, you know, young players. Okay, yeah, Giannis, Jokic, Luka, they're all 26 and under. But you also got Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? Like, you've got all these great American players as well. But, Rob, I think you mentioned the style of play, which is a good point. I think also the way they bring you up in the game. When you go over there, Rob, they drill, and they work on skills. Over here with AAU becoming the predominant, you know, form of youth basketball, they just play games. You know it. You go. A team goes for a weekend,
and
they might play six to eight games. Right. They're not running drills. They're not doing jump stop moves. They're not working on their handle and shot. They are not sliding drills, whatever. They are balling. And obviously our kids still have great skills, but they are drilling them over there. And so you see a lot of these players, Rob, who we wouldn't consider athletic,
but they know how to play, yes.
Right.
There's a big difference. You know that, Chris, athletically guys can jump out of the gym, but do they really know how to play the game?
Even if they got great one-on-one handle and jumper, right? That doesn't mean they know how to play with four other players.
Right.
So I think that's a factor. And then, you know, over there, what they do, Rob, they divorce sports from academics. Like you said, Luka's a pro at 15.
Right.
I mean, he's been playing. He might be getting some type of tutoring, right? Maybe. But it's not like he's going to be ineligible to play. You know what I mean? If he's not that smart or doing that well in school or whatever. And so at a younger age, it's like, look, you're going to be a basketball player. And he's focusing on it. So, like I said, the G League, you know, maybe getting, you know, as these younger kids, they don't have to worry about going to college. A lot of them are going to the G League now, and they can just work on their games. Even in the high school level, Rob, you saw with this, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Remember, like, the new league, the National High School League? What's probably going to happen, Rob, is you're going to start having kids, the best kids from all over the country, probably going to these schools, you know?
Yep.
And then they're going to be head and shoulders above, you know, your typical all-state teams and stuff. And so, you know, those may be become more basketball factories. But I think, you like you said, it's skills is a big difference in what you're seeing. And that's how a Jokic and a Doncic and, you know, these guys are excelling. So it's interesting. But let's throw it out to the callers. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Does it feel like to you that international players are taking over the NBA? I don't think it's a problem. And I don't think there's like this massive takeover. But obviously, many of the best players, the absolute best players, are coming from overseas. Your thoughts on it, 877-99 on Fox. We're the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hold on, let me guess. Give me a hint,
Alex. Power?
Oh, Rob got it.
Is that it? I was about to say, it's Power clearly on a Stars. Black show. I can tell that.
Right, I was like,
do you watch that? Do you watch
no,
Power?
No, but I guessed. Because I was like, this is a popular show.
I would watch it. At least I would try. I don't have Stars or whatever it's on.
Chris, aren't you a multimillionaire? You can't afford premium cable?
I know. What's the deal?
Well, first of all, I stream. You know I stream. I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, I watch sports and news. That's much what I watch now.
He's got
we'll binge watch something.
A big Maybe sports we'll car it. That he had to go to three banks to get enough money to go stop. Pay for it. And now
Rob,
he's got a
I'm not going to say what Rob's driving.
No, I didn't say
he's
what
riding
you're driving
clean.
Either.
And you know, we weren't surprised that Rob knew what show it was, because you know him and 50 Cent go way back to that one. Was it Jamaica Queens, right, Rob?
That's right. We're both from Jamaica Queens. And one day we were flying from Bristol, Connecticut. No, from Detroit to Bristol, Chris. And he was in the seat. We were both sitting in first class. He was a seat
you
ahead of me.
You sat next to each other? Okay.
No, ahead of me. But we talked the whole flight. He knew my uncle. My
so
late
you
uncle.
Mean, so you were like literally he was leaning back to talk to you, or you switched and sat next to each other?
No, we talked between the seats the whole flight.
Wow. Yep.
He knew my uncle real well, my uncle Junior, who's passed away, but they were friends. And when I mentioned my uncle Junior to him, boom, it was over.
Okay.
Rob's tight, man. He calls him Curtis too.
That's right. Yo, Kurt.
Kurt.
All right. Let's do I'm interested to hear these calls.
I guarantee you he wouldn't know you if he saw you.
No.
If he
no.
saw you on the street, would he know you?
No, I don't think so. Not
CB,
like
come on. He's tied like with Kyrie too. You know this.
I just
yeah, right,
hey,
right.
Kyrie asked about me. Chris is just not mad enough to tell me that Kyrie said, how's Rob?
I think
Rob?
You were the furthest thing. He was like, yeah. Who's that dude you do the show with?
He said, is that Rob G? He said, you do the show with Rob G? Is that guy?
I like that Straight Fire podcast.
99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. International players taking over the NBA. What do you think?
All right, let's go to Bernard in San Diego. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Bernard?
Hey, guys. Great show. Big fan. And I was going to throw it back old school to you guys. I'm about your same age, and you're going to remember these old Euros. Sarunas, Marcelonis, and Drazen Petrovic.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I think those guys... For the Nets,
for the
right?
Nets.
I think those
they
guys,
blazed a little guys, bit trail, right?
Right, right. Yep. But I think they laid the foundation as kind of some of the first Euros that came to the NBA. Well, Sarunas Marcelonis didn't, but, you know, they showed some skills that I think evolved to what you're seeing with a lot of these Euros today. So definitely I think the influence is positive. I still feel the Americans are obviously the best players in the world, but it's great to see the diversity in the game and seeing how international it's truly gone. So, guys, great show. Keep up the work, and we love
you
out here in San Diego.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bernard.
That's a good
I'm coming down
too.
There, too. I need to see a Padres game this summer.
That's a good call.
Yeah, definitely. Max in Georgia, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show tonight. This is an interesting topic. I think I saw a stat from this year or last year where it was like 107 international players from 41 different countries. You got one player on every 30 teams in the league from international. So there's something to it. I wanted to ask you guys, though, well, before I ask you that, let me say this. Situationally, And fundamentally, I think they might even surpass the Americans, because it seems like Americans,
definitely,
you know, they have that, the physical gifts and the athleticism. You look at Luka. I mean, Luka's on pace now. It looks like to maybe even surpass LeBron in certain stat categories. So if he stays healthy, that is.
Right,
so,
right.
So I wanted to ask you something, though. Do you think this is at all possibility, even pre-COVID and obviously after COVID when things get settled in, is this an attempt at the league, because of their domestic viewership numbers dropping, is this an attempt to step up the foreign possibilities, whether it be games, like the NFL goes to London, they go to Mexico. Is this an attempt at the league to try to maybe switch to that mode? Just wanted to throw that y'all.
I don't think so. It's even like when the Raptors played in the finals, remember, Chris? They don't count.
Yep.
The numbers
they
don't count.
Right.
So I'm not sure that that is what they're looking for. I just think it's inevitable because these guys can play. And that's where we are. And you know what? They've replaced, I'm saying it, Chris, they've replaced the white player from the United States. They've replaced
him. Oh, yeah. No question. And I'll say this. I think, look, when we started bringing the game overseas, of course, there was a money aspect to it, right? Like, look, the more we bring the game all around the world, the more money for the NBA. So that was a part of it. But to Rob's point, these guys can just ball.
Right.
And I think the money that will be made in these various countries, that's just a positive consequence of it, you know. But
exactly.
I don't think it's a plan to do it. But you bring up something interesting, Rob, is that maybe we answered it when we talked about it earlier, is that they really drill skills over there overseas. Because why are the white players in Europe able to, come over here and be stars, superstars?
That's what I'm saying, right?
And the white players in America can't. And I think it's because if you look at the best white players historically, Larry Bird, John Stockton, Chris Mullin, Kevin McHale, they had skills, right? They weren't necessarily jumping through the gym, but they had skills. And that's what these European white players, Rob, have skills.
No,
let's keep it real. Giannis doesn't really have those skills. But the white players from overseas tend to have them. And so, look, for all you white American players out there, work on your skills. Drill, drill, drill.
It's all about
the
skills.
If you want to be like some of these European guys.
Right.
Yes. As KRS-One said in his latest album, you heard of a millionaire? How about a skillionaire? Dope, dope lyric, Rob. Dope
wow.
Lyric. On that note, speaking
my,
of
my favorite lyric was from Eric B. What was it? Eric B. for President. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, Eric B. is President. Yep.
Eric B. for President, I think.
Thought she was a donut, tried to glaze
yes,
you.
Yes, there it
I
is.
Knew that. I knew.
You
just
know.
Knowing you, I
she
knew that.
She thought I was a donut. She tried to glaze me.
Just knowing you, I knew that had to be the lyric.
That was it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're the iCouple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest played 10 years in the NBA. He's now the co-host of the Let's Get Technical podcast with Rasheed Wallace, Bonzi Wells. Bonzi, welcome to the iCouple, brother.
Man, appreciate y'all having me. What up, fellas?
Doing good.
We glad to have you. First of all, I know you went golfing today, so how'd you hit it?
I shot a young 80, man. I bogeyed the 18th hole for my first 79 of the summer, man. I'm sorry.
Man.
All right. Hey, that's way better than I would do, believe me. So
yes. I sold my clubs. That's how good I was. I had to get rid of them.
come on, man. That's the best game ever.
Man.
Bonzi, before we get to the playoffs, you saw Nikola Jokic, obviously MVP, Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year. The last three MVP winners have been international guys. The last four Defensive Player of the Year winners have been international players. And that's not even including Luka Doncic, who obviously is a great player. Why do you think the international players are coming over and having so much success? Obviously, you still got great American players, but these international dudes are balling. Why do you think the surge that they're having in the NBA?
Well, if you think about it, they've been playing this style of game that we just acclimated to these last X amount of years for their whole careers. I mean, when we played in the late 90s, early 2000s was probably the last time when a 2-point basket was a premium on that. But now everything is a premium on a 3-point shot. They've been playing that way on overseas where you're having basically five guys on the court. You know, your center, you know, is a stretch five basically, setting, you know, great screen, ball movement, cuts. I mean, that's the game they've grown up playing, so they get it. So we're still trying to learn that game and try to find our ins and outs where those guys are already acclimated, and you see how much success they're having.
Bonzi, I totally agree with that.
You were saying that earlier, Rob.
Yeah, that was my point, is that they've been playing. This is European-style basketball. Let's go to the playoffs in the Nets and Milwaukee. How surprised? No Harden, no Green. The Nets already blew out Milwaukee in the first two games. And even tonight, Durant's having a bad shooting night, 6-for-18, and the Nets are only trailing by two to start the fourth quarter. What do you make of the Nets? How good are they that they could be missing these guys? Durant's not playing well. They're on the road in Milwaukee, and they still got a chance to win this game.
I mean, how many best players in the league do you need to win? I mean, you know, Kyrie is an explosive player that showed that he can get between 30 and 50. You know, KD's a cheat code. I mean, you know, without James Harden, I mean, guys like, you know, I like the little guard. We call him little Fred Van Fleet Jr. Mike James, I really like the way he comes in with his energy. I like Brown. I mean, Brown has been playing his role to perfection. I mean, that guy is a heck of a glue guy. And then you got the two stars and Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is playing an unbelievable level right now. I don't know who he's fooled in Detroit to make them think he couldn't play anymore, but he's playing at an unbelievable level right now. Right. And that's just what it is. I mean, these guys are just playing well. They're a well-oiled machine. And like you said, I mean, I was very surprised they was going to play this good against Milwaukee without James Harden. But as I work in this Milwaukee team, I mean, I just go to Giannis. I mean, I just don't understand how Giannis cannot shoot anymore. And I remember he first got over in the NBA, he was a hell of a shooter. So I just don't understand if it's between his ears or what, or he's been lifting too much weight. But
I was going to say the weight thing. I was wondering.
What would you tell him in the offseason? Like if you were working with him or if you were on the Bucks staff or something, what would your offseason regimen be with him?
Well, everybody, you know, everything is about training these specialty guys. And, you know, I know a guy, my young fellow named Lethal Shooter, and he trains everybody. So what he need to do, he need to holler at Bobby Portis, because Bobby Portis been rocking with him the last couple of summers, and he got his jump shot together. Just go get with somebody that can really help your shot and smooth it out. I wish I'd have been humble enough or even thought about it when I played the game, because I always consider myself a shotter more than a shooter. So that's what Giannis is, but that's back when the premium was on the 2-point shot. So Giannis has to really adjust his game if he want to take it to the next level. He's going to be always easy to guard.
I think a month or two ago, Bonzi, I think it was Chris Paul you said.
Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up.
I want to give you love. Yeah. I know you got your chest stuck out right now.
You damn right. You daggone right. You're my boy alone.
It's Bonzi's revenge, boy. I mean, because you said he was the best point guard ever. You amended it because obviously you got Magic Johnson. But are you, like, what will it do for Chris if they get to the finals or even win it? What do you think that means for his legacy if he's able to do this?
It's the validation for guys like yourself and all the people, the naysayers, that don't want to give him
now,
his
what
props.
You going to do when they lose this series?
Exactly.
Or the next round?
No. But listen, you got to think. Chris Paul has done more than what any of these point guards ever done, and that's going to four or five different teams and making them contenders. You look at his numbers. You look at the other guys' numbers around him. Everybody has gotten better. I would never take props away from them great point guards, but Chris Paul has traveled around and showed that he can play with all levels of players and make them better and make them relevant in these playoffs. And that's what I respect about him. You know, but, that's what I respect about what he's doing.
But Bonzi,
how far can they go?
Bonzi, you do have to win, though. At least you got to win. Because
oh, yeah,
I always say
win.
Sports has a short menu, wins and losses. And ultimately, that's what people look at.
I mean, definitely, I'm with you 100%. And if he do get to the finals or hypothetically give Phoenix a chance to win a championship, I think all the discussion is out the window. And that would definitely vault him into the top, maybe top four or five point guards ever.
See, I got my top four, and I think we talked about this before. To me, the top four is set for a while. Magic, Steph, Oscar, and Isaiah Thomas. I do think if they win it, which I don't see happening, but if they win it, I think he's definitely top five. He's definitely five.
I definitely
put him at five.
Yeah, and I'll be forgetting about Steph as a point guard because I'm so used to him scoring and being shooting guard, so I totally forget about guys like Steph. And Steph is going to definitely be up there, too.
How far do you think Phoenix can go? I mean, realistically, can they win it? You know, assuming everybody stays healthy and all that.
Definitely. I mean, I think they got a great chance to compete. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to beat this Brooklyn team because they have too many proven weapons. But the way Chris Paul has that team playing, they get quality possessions every single possession. They play great team defense, and then their role players are playing at an unbelievable level. So I think they can maybe sneak through this West and get to the championship because it's wide open for them right now, and they're probably one of the hottest teams right now for me.
Hey, one last quick thing from me. Malone said that the Nuggets had quit, basically. Is that cool for a coach to say, or sometimes players need to hear that?
I mean, they need to hear it because, you know, sometimes the coach will be keeping it real. I mean, I feel like they did quit a little bit. I feel like the guys are relying too much on Jokic, and they're not out there balling like they need to. I mean, I'm one of the guys I'm most I'm disappointed in is a guy like Michael Porter Jr. I mean, Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, so, you know, and he could be a really good player for him, but he's just so such a jump shooter and so hit or miss. So they just got to find that guy that can really take up the slack for the loss of Jamal Murray, and nobody's really stepping up. So I think this is probably something to probably maybe try to light a fire under his team, which it usually works. So we'll see.
Let me ask you this, Bonzi, and you and Rashid have the great podcast, Let's Get Technical. You've seen the whole thing with Kwame Brown and going at Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and all that. Do you, even KD going at Kendrick Perkins, last year or whatever it was.
Wait a minute. You don't have the sound of what he said about me and Chris. Hold on. You want to hear this, Bonzi? Here we go. Hold
let
on.
Me take, let me hear.
And Rob Parker, you just ugly.
he called me glow stick, but, you know, it is what it is. But my question is this, Bonzi. Do you worry, probably isn't the right word, but do you worry, for lack of a better term, about, you know, sometimes if you guys are critical of the athletes today, you know, do athletes feel like, man, y'all shouldn't come at us like that? Y'all played in the league, it's a fraternity or whatever. Because as you know, the best broadcasters, Barkley, Shaq, you know, you got to be willing to say something. And,
right.
And if a guy's deserving to be criticized, you got to be willing to do it. Like, how do you maneuver that, and what's your thought process?
I mean, the way we look at it, I think a lot of NBA players look at it like only NBA players can really, really, really critique another NBA player. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been there, you done played, and we respect your resume to a certain extent. But, you know, guys who didn't play and they're talking about you, that's when we feel like you're hating. So what we do, I mean, I'm not the type of dude that's going to attack another NBA player because we're a fraternity. We're like frat brothers, so if I got a problem with somebody, I'm going to address it to him, you know what I'm saying, man to man. I would never take anything to social media. And that's where I feel like sometimes with these, you know, in like the situation you just mentioned, I hated that it unfolded, especially in the public eye, because we're a brotherhood, and, you know, and it's just sometimes it's just an easy phone conversation to fix a mix-up. Right. So I think that's what happened with them. And, you know, sometimes it's healthy. You know, it's healthy to talk stuff to your brother. It's fun, but sometimes it can get out of hand, and I think that did a little bit, but I'm glad cooler heads prevailed.
That's our man, Bonzi Wells. Right, y'all Bonzi. Doing a great job, man. Keep it up on Let's Get Technical, the podcast. You got to check it out. Hey, go take your victory lap right now before Phoenix gets eliminated. Because they ain't going to last that long.
Wow.
Well, y'all some haters. Y'all some haters.
That's Chris. I got the Suns. I picked the Suns.
I do think they got a shot. I got the Suns in this series. And I think I'm like you. I think they got a shot to get to the finals. Them and the Clippers would be a good series. Or them and Utah, whoever wins that.
Man, I'm scared of the Clippers. I'm scared of the Clippers, man. They just I don't know. I don't think I've seen them play their best ball, but I don't even know what their best ball would look like.
Right, no, I agree. I think they're the only team left that could give Brooklyn some problems.
You know what's crazy? I didn't even know that they set the all-time record for free throw shooting in the history of the NBA. Did you know that this year?
Oh, yeah, yep. Yep.
Really?
And threes?
Yes, all-time and threes. Yep.
Yep, yep.
Wow, that's good trivia right there. I'm about to use that little fun fact.
Hey, it was Rob, so you better double check it. But
yeah, okay, there you go.
No, hey, if it was a source story by Chris, you better triple check it.
All right, Bozzy, man. Thanks, brother. Peace.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Right. Peace.
Yeah, more Odd Couple coming your way, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, wrapping up a TV theme song Thursday. We'll wrap it up like this, Rob. Chris Paul, we talked about it with Bonzi Wells. Let's say hypothetically, I just don't, unless Brooklyn gets hurt, and I'm assuming obviously they come out of the East, unless they get hurt, I just don't think Phoenix can beat them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, Green and Harden are eventually going to play, Chris.
Right. But if Harden's back, nobody's beating them.
Right.
If Harden's not back, I would pick them over the Clippers, but the Clippers would interest me. You know what I mean?
No, like, I agree.
With Kawhi and Paul George, yeah.
It wouldn't be a layup.
It would not be a layup. Because they, you know, they have at least the personnel to get physical with Brooklyn. And, you know, they got some great defenders individually. But let's just say hypothetically, Chris Paul does win a championship. What do you think that does for his legacy?
No, it would just validate everything that he's done. And then you could look back and say, he did improve all these teams and make them better. And he was always snake bitten, Chris, because he always got hurt in the playoffs. And had he stayed healthy, he might have won another one or two. You could make that argument, you know what I mean? Or
yeah, that
or
year
that.
He got hurt when they had Golden State down 3-2.
Right.
Because they were going, I think they would, winner of that series probably would have won it. I mean, I don't know, were they a tough, was Cleveland
but
a tough
saying,
matchup
could,
for
could,
them? But
yeah, but you can make an argument. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, we didn't get to see him in his all the time in the playoffs.
And he has
because
some
he
failures, too, though. It wasn't always injury. You know what I mean? Sometimes
I remember one year that he had an unbelievable Game 6 against Utah to force a Game 6. You remember that, Chris, a couple years ago? And then he had a stinker in Game 7.
Terrible Game 7. Yep. And he was on one of those Doc Rivers teams that blew the 3-1 lead to Houston. And then remember the Westbrook game where he struggled in the last 45 seconds and turned it over and all that stuff. So, but I think, Rob, and I shouted out our boy, you know, Stephen A. was on First Take a couple days ago, and if he wins, will he be a top five point guard? And I told Stephen A. I agree with his list. He had Chris Paul at 5, Isaiah at 4, Oscar at 3, Steph 2, and Magic 1. And I would agree with that if Chris Paul wins.
Right.
But we'll see if he does that. I doubt it. But our couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio, hope you enjoyed it. Keep it locked for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. Peace!